this time on Weather Brains.
I'm just very thankful I've been able to be a small part of the team.
We talk with the man stepping down as head of the National Hurricane Center. It's a Weather Brains tribute to Max Mayfield.
He really was a great person to be at the helm of the National Hurricane Center.
Also, we look at holiday travel weather across the country.
Yeah, in terms of travel disruptions, I think the biggest issue is going to be these storms coming out of the southwest United States.
And what does Christmas weather look like for central Alabama?
I think for Christmas Eve, we look pretty wet here.
So you think James Spann has his Christmas shopping all taken care of?
I don't even start until Christmas Eve.
And James describes J.B. Elliott attending a National Weather Association chapter meeting.
The man is an eating machine.
It's not pretty. All this and more coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the netcast that's all about the weather. Episode 47, produced by the Weather Geeks from the Birmingham, Alabama-based Weather Company. I'm David Black, one of those Weather Geeks. Hello this time to James Spann, lead meteorologist with ABC 3340 Television, Birmingham. Mr. Spann, how you are, sir?
Hey, David, I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm superb, getting excited about the Christmas weekend approaching and all life as well. And I'm glad. Hey, do you have your Christmas shopping taken care of?
I don't even start until Christmas Eve, so no.
Okay. Well, some people wait until the last minute.
That's the best day to do it. Everybody's in a good mood, and, you know.
You don't find
it? I love shopping on Christmas Eve.
You don't find it stressful?
No, it's relaxing. It's great.
And you can always find a gift for whoever you're wanting to purchase for?
Even if you have to go to the Walgreens at midnight Christmas Eve, there's always something there. You know?
Okay. Brian Peters with us as well. You strike me, Brian, as somebody who's done your shopping early. Would I be correct about that?
You would be correct.
Okay. You're not
hopefully
a last-minute person?
No. Well, sometimes, but I prefer to have things all taken care of ahead of time. I just don't like the crowds.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you are trying to purchase, if you're trying to buy gifts for people out of town, you don't have a choice. You really have to hit it sooner and get stuff on the way. But, you know, if you're buying for people locally and you don't have that many people, maybe it works.
My wife's family has a great plan. They have so many people that they draw names. Every Christmas, they draw the name for the next Christmas, so they only have to give to one cousin.
Oh.
With like, I don't know, 26 cousins or whatever.
Does that work pretty well?
It works pretty well because then, you know, you don't have to come up with 26 different gifts for people. You only have one cousin to give for. So,
James, when you do your last-minute shopping, do you have in mind items to get for various people? Or do you just walk into a store kind of clueless and say, I'm just going to look around and see what hits me?
Hey, man, just walk in there and let it flow, baby. You know, it's like live television. Whatever happens, happens, you know? I was thinking about getting a set of Genzu knives for Brian, you know? Maybe a pocket fisherman or something, those late-night TV commercials.
No, Brian's higher stakes than that because he's buying all these new computers and stuff. Brian, you know, I have known Brian many, many years, as you have, James, and only recently has he become a Mac person, and that's an interesting transition.
And my first convert with James Spann.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. I'm in the Brian Peters Mac school now.
Yeah, just you know, he's made the conversion over. So
now I'm trying to convince James Spann to open an Apple store in Alabama.
Hey, maybe we've got a business venture there.
I think James Spann is not your guy. It's Steve Jobs. So maybe if Steve is listening to this program, then maybe he can do something about that.
Okay. Well, speaking of Christmas, let me ask you this. We do have a lot of folks who watch you on television and maybe even a couple, three or four who listen to these netcasts, and probably a lot of folks maybe heading out of town, west, north, east, south. You want to just kind of give us a little look at what sort of weather is going to be hitting the country in the next few days toward the weekend?
Yeah, in terms of travel disruptions, I think the biggest issue is going to be these storms coming out of the southwest United States that roll up into the middle part of the country. We got two of those things coming up in the next 5 days between now and Christmas, David. One is coming out of the southwest tonight. In fact, as we do this netcast, it is snowing to beat the band in Flagstaff, Arizona. How about that?
Oh, man.
Watching some of the webcams out there. As you know, one of our affiliate radio stations covers Flagstaff, and they'll probably have a storm total of about 4 to 8 inches out there by between now and tomorrow morning. And that's going to come out and be a really nice snow producer for the mountains of southern Colorado down into north New Mexico and even the Texas Panhandle. and the Oklahoma Panhandle. They'll have a good snow with this. And the second one could bring some snow maybe a little deeper into Texas, and that one's going to be a Christmas Eve storm. So for the folks that are dreaming of a white Christmas, maybe Amarillo and Lubbock could see some snow from that, maybe Wichita Falls. And, you know, there's even a chance that could drop some snow into a pretty good chunk of Oklahoma and maybe even Missouri. So it'll be kind of fun to watch that come out of the Southwest.
If anybody's heading to, say, Dallas, Fort Worth, do you think they're maybe a little too far south to see any of that?
I'd say it's borderline. I think you probably have to go a little farther west or a little farther north to get into it. But that'll be close. It'll be kind of fun to watch the weather. But I do think there'll be noticeably colder for Christmas is where we are here in Alabama. I think we'll turn colder Christmas Day. Nothing earth-shattering, but, you know, it's been so mild here. We've had highs in the 70s lately. You know, you drop highs in the 40s, that'll be like a shock to your system there.
What about folks who might be heading to the mid-Atlantic region around Christmas? Anything going on there?
It looks kind of wet. It looks like we're going to get a pretty good wet down on Christmas Eve across the Deep South, and more than likely for Christmas Day in the Mid-Atlantic, Washington, Baltimore, just looks wet. So you better be dreaming of a wet Christmas instead of a white Christmas if you live there.
Okay. So overall, really, I don't hear you saying any big problems here in the Southeast U.S. if somebody's going to be going maybe a couple hundred, 300 miles in any direction from Birmingham, they would stand to maybe run into some rain a little bit at most, but that might be it.
Yeah, I think rain's going to be the issue. And again, I think for Christmas Eve, we look pretty wet here with a storm coming out of the Gulf, and that rolls up the Atlantic seaboard the next day. So, and we will turn colder Christmas. And again, I think to get into the snow and ice, you have to get up into Missouri and maybe North Arkansas and Oklahoma, something like that.
Well, as far as us in this area, I have it on good authority that wet weather is no problem for reindeer and sleighs. That they're just accustomed to that, so
good,
no problem. Brian, you going to be around for the holidays, or are you heading off to points unknown?
Oh, no, we're sticking around. Going to be filling in for Jason on a couple of morning shows. And
there's going to be all this shuffling on the year, isn't there, James, because you're going to be out some, too.
Oh, this is vacation season. It's total fruit basket turnover.
So does this mean crazy weather?
Yeah, it probably does. But J.B. Elliott is gone this week on vacation, and then next week I'm gone, and
watch out.
Yeah, and JB's absence is a real issue because that means no Miss Molly stories.
Yeah, the hate mail is flowing in. Day to day, the Miss Molly story didn't show up in the afternoon weather forecast package, and that's not good. But JB will be back on Christmas Day, and I will say this. So sometimes when I'm gone, weird things happen. So
and it'll be Brian's problem to handle.
That's right. And by the way, you know, David, we had the Christmas dinner was tonight at the National Weather Association local chapter meeting, and Brian conveniently didn't show up for that.
Are you surprised?
Big time down there.
He doesn't show for stuff like that.
It was free food, Brian. Where were you?
He can't be bothered.
Well, I was afraid I wouldn't get back in time for Weather Brains.
Oh, what a devoted Weather Brains trooper he is.
All right. Now, listen, y'all gotta forgive me. My daughter's in town from Chicago, so.
Okay.
Right. Well, we all went around the table at the NWA meeting, and we did the poll. Do you think Brian looks more like Colonel Sanders or Santa Claus? And Colonel Sanders was the overwhelming choice there. So.
You know, maybe at one point you can post some likenesses, pictures on the weather blog, abc3340.com, and let people vote.
I need to do that. In fact, I'm going to post some. I took my camera down there. We took some shots of the gang at the Christmas dinner, so maybe we'll throw some up there since Brian wasn't there, you know?
Well, we want to promote interactivity off the website, and that might be a good way to let people just judge for themselves. Is he the colonel, or is he the jolly character from the North Pole?
Interesting question.
Brian, you want to make any votes for yourself that way?
No.
No comment.
Thank you.
He sounds hostile, doesn't he?
He's defensive. I don't know. I guess he's kind of edgy.
Tense.
He's tense, James, because he's going to be filling in next week, and no telling what's going to happen. He's uptight.
He's been on television a lot. I saw Brian on TV this weekend. He was looking really nice.
He's stressed.
Are you stressed?
No, not stressed a bit.
Well, he has his Christmas shopping done, too, so I guess he's okay.
I've already blown my December 25th forecast for Birmingham, so.
Well, you said it wasn't going to snow, so I think you're on track there, according to what James is seeing at this point.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
Well, I said wet and slightly warmer than James is now forecasting.
Oh.
You know, but what I, the truth is, you know, anybody could blow that forecast this far out. Let's don't count the chickens until they've hatched, you know.
Yeah, it could be a bit premature. You
These things coming out of the Southwest, they're boogers. You know, strange things can happen. So who knows?
Timing is everything.
Difficult. Yeah, and I don't even want to get into any weird possibilities, but I think we'll make it. My gut feeling will make it through New Year's without some kind of snow or ice threat here. But I don't know. JB put up an observation on our instant message conference of his station. He watches in Siberia, and I think it was 64 below zero.
Correct.
Man.
And the pressure, let's see, 30.70 inches, and I think that's near 1,050 millibars.
3070? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Wow.
And I can't pronounce this thing. It's OJMJAKON Siberia. So
I'll let you guys handle the pronunciation on that one.
Yeah.
So in other words, we have it pretty nice where we are.
Just Siberia is good enough for me.
You know, another part of the country, too, that's really getting hit right now is western Washington State. Saw an item in the news. 100 or so people have been poisoned by carbon monoxide produced by generators and charcoal grills that people up there are using for warmth and for light because of the widespread power outages that the storm pushing ashore there has caused. One man, we understand, died from inhaling carbon monoxide, and at least half a dozen other people have been treated for poisoning in Oregon. Huge, huge, terrible problem up there. So really and truly, we're to be thankful for what kind of weather we've been enjoying down here. It feels, you know, spring-like, unusual for this kind of warmth in December.
Yeah, so another story on our weatherparty.com that the Microsoft campus was out of power for a while. They had to shut down large portions of their campus because of a power outage because of that wild weather up there. So you're right. We're pretty blessed down here.
I would think that they would have uninterruptible power systems for anything Microsoft related, but maybe not. Well, speaking of another big weather item, this is an important time of the year for somebody else. January 3rd, 2007, a big change takes place with an organization millions of Americans depend on for staying safe during hurricane season. That day will be Max Mayfield's last day as director of the National Hurricane Center. He's retiring following a career that has drawn high praise for his leadership in helping provide timely and accurate warnings to residents along the Atlantic and Gulf coasts. We caught up with Mr. Mayfield to get his thoughts on closing the door on more than three decades of government service. You're about to head out the door after a government career of, is it 34 years?
34 years back in September, and I've been the director since April of 2000, so...
About 6 years then at NHC?
Actually, seven hurricane seasons. That's the way I count them anyway.
You keep track of them carefully, don't you?
You bet.
What is your proudest accomplishment from your years at NHC?
That's a tough one here. We've had a lot of achievements, you know, going to the five-day forecast after making a three-day forecast for years. That was a pretty major change in philosophy there and in the education involved in that. And the forecasters have set records for track forecasting and at many times period for the last several years. But I guess if there was one thing that I would like to say I'm most proud of, it's just the staff at the National Hurricane Center. And the we've got some young forecasters here that I just simply can't promote fast enough. We've got a terrific staff. They're absolutely passionate about what they do, and I'm just, you know, very thankful I've been able to be a small part of the team.
You know, the last time that I interviewed you, Mr. Mayfield, you were standing in line to catch a flight out of Miami for I think it was maybe Puerto Rico somewhere.
One of the Hurricane Committee meeting in Puerto Rico, I'll bet.
Yeah, and you were a little rushed, and you were doing your best, and we really appreciated you calling us when you could.
Sure.
But I have to say, you sound very different now. Do you just feel like you sound a lot more relaxed? Do you just feel as if a big load's off your shoulders now?
Well, I'm always more relaxed in December, but you know, even more so this year with only days left to go.
Let me ask you about the 2006 season. It was a lot quieter, obviously, than initially forecast. Do you have any concerns about coastal residents maybe having short memories, getting a false sense of security?
I sure do. And, you know, we always have that concern. And y'all and the media can really help us, you know, to create this culture of preparedness year-round. You can't afford to wait for the hurricane to come knocking on your door there. And I've always said that the battle against the hurricane has gone outside the hurricane season, and I think that some people that have not been impacted recently by hurricanes will let their guard down, because we didn't have any landfalling hurricanes this year at all in the United States. So, yes, that's a concern. I hope you can help us correct that. There's a very good reason why we didn't have as much activity this year, and at least in large part that was due to the El Nino. And, you know, that's the good news. We didn't have much activity. But the bad news is that this is not going to last forever. And most of the research meteorologists think that we're still in this very active period for hurricanes and strong hurricanes. And, you know, the El Ninos will come and go occasionally and modulate this. But overall, in this active period, that it's going to be with us for some time.
As you look back at the time since Katrina, you mentioned the K word, so I'm going to hit you with this.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on how well, or maybe not so well, that federal, state, local government has progressed in the time since in terms of being storm ready?
Well, David, first of all, the roles are pretty well defined, and the role of the National Hurricane Center is to produce the best hurricane forecast that we can. We make that 5-day forecast every 6 hours and update that more often if need be. No one in all these state hurricane conferences that I've been to, the National Hurricane Conference, and even the Congressional hearings, no one has fussed to me anyway about the forecast. And we had a very good forecast. It was communicated well. Our local offices communicated to the local officials. They did their job. But it still comes down to that, the preparedness part comes down to that individual. We've got to get down to that individual level and make sure that people have a plan that they can execute before the hurricane season even begins. Now, on the response and recovery part, there's enough blame to go all around at all levels of government.
During the past 6 years or so that you've been the head of NHC, I suspect you've engaged yourself in one or two battles over funding for the operation there. Is it harder these days to get the kind of funding you see as necessary for NHC to do its job effectively?
Well, I'm very thankful to Congress. We've been able to increase our staff here. We've added 4 new hurricane specialists at the beginning of the 2006 hurricane season, and I sincerely thank Senator Bill Nelson and others who helped get that through. So I can't complain about the staffing here at the National Hurricane Center. There are other pieces to the puzzle, and in my personal opinion, I think we need a dedicated hurricane modeling group, and I've been vocal about that, and I think there are a lot of people in NOAA that are trying to figure out how we can do this. So, you know, there is a plan. We're kind of focusing on intensity forecasting now, and there's a lot of work going on here. I think that maybe the best way to say this is that we're doing a very good job, given the resources that we have within NOAA. If we had additional resources, I'm sure that we could do better.
What made you decide to hang it up?
No single event, and I've shared the story. You may have heard this from the Forrest Gump movie, if you remember, when he was running across the country, and he ran for 2 years and 3 months and 2 weeks or whatever it was, and he stopped, and people said, "Listen, he's about to speak," and he said, "I'm tired, and I think I'll go home now. I'm just, I'm, you know, 34 years is a long time for anybody to be in the same place, and it's just, I know it's time to move on."
Your wife, Linda, I believe, is a teacher in Miami-Dade, is that right?
She is at Westminster Christian School, and she's always the one stuck at home putting up our storm shutters when I'm at the office.
So what are the plans for the two of you?
Well, we'll take some time off, and we've got a couple of vacations planned with our 3 kids this summer, and I'm really looking forward to spending more time with the family. I'll still, after I take some time off, I'll see what options I have out there. I'm pretty sure that I'll end up back in the hurricane program somewhere. I just don't know where yet.
The news media is filled with stories every day, Mr. Mayfield, about larger, more dangerous hurricanes happening, more of them to come because of man-made global warming. Do you think the American people are getting the straight story on that?
Well, it's funny. I just came back a week ago from the International Workshop on Tropical Cyclones in Costa Rica. We had 125 people from 34 different countries, and we came up with a statement on tropical cyclones and climate change. And the bottom line is that there is no consensus. They're both sides make some very good points. Most people think that global warming certainly has some impact. The big question is how much, and is it even significant? And there are some, I feel very strongly that there are some real problems with the databases. The historical databases used in all the other ocean basins other than the Atlantic are based only on satellite imagery. And the technique to estimate the intensity of the tropical cyclones using infrared imagery really wasn't even published until 1984. I mean, I even went around the globe teaching some countries how to, you know, apply the technique, and that was in the late 1980s. So yes, there are definitely more stronger hurricanes in the historical database in recent years, and in large part that's due to more satellites and this technology, the technique where you estimate the intensity. Before we had that technique, we really didn't have any idea how strong the hurricanes were.
I asked you a moment ago about your proudest accomplishment during your time at NHC, but what goals do you feel you were not able to accomplish? Anything?
Well, I didn't really expect miracles. One thing that we definitely need to do a better job on is intensity forecasting, and NOAA has a plan. We're developing a new hurricane model that will be operational in 2007. We're going to put some new instruments on airplanes that will fly into the hurricanes to feed this data back into the computer models, and we will eventually solve intensity forecasting the same way that we solve track forecasting, or have improved track forecasting anyway, and that's through numerical weather prediction. I feel strongly about that, but I also know this is just a really big challenge for us, and it's not going to happen overnight, and I don't really want to get people's expectations up, but one of my greatest nightmare scenarios is having people go to bed at night preparing for a Category 1 hurricane and waking up to a Katrina or an Andrew.
If you and Bill Proenza, your successor, were having a one-on-one meeting somewhere secluded and I was a fly on the wall, what would I hear you giving him in terms of advice?
I've already told him the same thing I asked one of the former directors, Dr. Bob Sheets, when I took the job. I asked Bob what I should do or could do, and he said, well, two things are extremely important. Number one, keep the emergency management community happy, and number two, keep the media happy. And I've really done everything I can to do that. I'm just really honored that I have so many friends in emergency management at the local, state, and federal levels, and it's just a real team effort, and y'all in the media really help us get the word out to the public. We know that we can't do that without your good help.
Last item for you, I interviewed Dr. William Gray recently, and your name came up. Do you have a minute just to listen to a short little piece that he said?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
I think Max has done a wonderful job. We all love Max. He has a way with people and is one of the nicest guys I've known. He's been at the Hurricane Center for 32 years. Well, I've been going down there nearly 50 years, so Max is kind of not the youngest, but he's
you watched him come up through the ranks.
He is younger than me, and I've known him over the years. He's a wonderful person, and I think he's done a great job. He's sort of tried to hold the line against some of this global warming hysteria that's come up with regard to storms, and I think we're losing a real good person there. I've known all the hurricane forecasters way back to Grady Norton, and that goes back into the 50s. And I think all of them are friends of mine. And I think Max is right along one of the best that there's been there. So I'm sorry, I probably can't get down to his retirement party, but I'll certainly be there in spirit and so on with it.
There you go, Mr. Mayfield.
That was very nice, sir, David. Bill Gray is not just a colleague, but a dear friend, and Bill has made such a tremendous contribution. He does have a few years on me there. If he's been doing this for 50 years, and you know, one of his biggest contributions is really not the seasonal forecasting, but he's generated just dozens of graduate students that are, you know, leading researchers and forecasters all over the country. We've got two of his former students on staff at the National Hurricane Center, and they're both going to be stars here.
Well, he has the viewpoint that a lot of people do about your tenure at NHC, and on behalf of all the crew with Weather Brains here, we appreciate your work and your tireless efforts, and wish you congratulations and the best of luck as you pursue other endeavors post-federal government.
Well, David, I thank you very much. It's a team effort, and I'm just very pleased to be a smaller part of that team.
Thank you very much, and the very best to you always.
Okay,
all right.
God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, one person who has a lot of respect for Mr. Mayfield is our own Bill Murray. Bill is in Washington, D.C. right now on business as we record this netcast, but he wanted to share some thoughts with me that he has about Mr. Mayfield. Bill, you have some association with Max Mayfield yourself. What do you want folks to know about Max?
You know, David, I was lucky enough in 2001 to meet Max when he was on the Gulf Coast Hurricane Tour. Actually, I was honored to actually go out to the plane and meet him when he landed at Lakefront Airport. And the first words I said to him that day were, Mr. Mayfield, you know, when I was young, when I was a kid, I wanted to be the director of the National Hurricane Center. And, you know, you have my dream job. And he looked at me and he said, Bill, you know, you can have it anytime that you want. And he just gave me a big grin. And I got to spend the entire day and dinner with him and Stacy Stewart and some other of his team members that night. And I came to appreciate them, you know, not only as icons, because, you know, in the weather industry, we can sort of idolize these fellows, but as real people. And so when I was in Miami this past July and looked at Max after we had the great opportunity to go to lunch, and I said, you know, Max, how long are you going to do this? He said, he looked at his watch and he said, Bill, I'm good till 5 o'clock. it made me really know that you know, this was a tired, you know, man who had really poured out his heart and his soul to protect this country. So when I did my calendar for 2007, I dedicated it to Max and all the heroes at the National Hurricane Center, and I really meant that after what they went through in 2004 and 2005. And so I have to really say hats off to Max Mayfield, and best wishes to you in your retirement, because things will be better because you were at the National Hurricane Center for all the years that you were there.
Now, among the many awards Max Mayfield has received, in 2005, he got the Presidential Rank Award for Meritorious Service from President George W. Bush. He was named ABC Television Network's Person of the Week after Hurricane Katrina. In 2006, Mr. Mayfield received the Government Communicator of the Year Award from the National Association of Government Communicators. That's a not-for-profit professional network of government employees who disseminate information within and outside the government. He also received the prestigious Neil Frank Award from the National Hurricane Conference. But perhaps the wording in a congressional resolution recognizing Mr. Britt Max Mayfield sums up his work best by calling him the Walter Cronkite of weather, trustworthy, calming, and always giving the facts straight. James, you and Brian have had some dealings off and on with Mr. Mayfield professionally. What do you guys think of his stepping away from the job?
Well, my first thought on that, David, I don't think most people understand the pressure that this guy's had on him since he's been the director down there, and the intense media scrutiny, and how hard it is to constantly address the media like he's done. And I think he's done a wonderful job. And you look back and, you know, there's been some wonderful men that have been down there. You think of Dr. Neil Frank and his ability to deal with the media, but there was some quiet confidence that Max had in a calming presence that I made for these great interviews and good information, and I think he just did a great job. So he really set the bar high, and I just hope that he has some good days, you know. And I love how he quoted the Forrest Gump movie, because that's one of my favorite movies, and I often think about that. You know, Gump has been running across the country, and he just stops, and he says, I'm tired, and I'm going to go home now. And that thought crosses my mind from time to time, so I can really appreciate that. And I hope he has a great retirement, David, because if anybody deserves it, this guy sure does.
You know, when Max first got the job, I wasn't sure that he was really the right man for the job, but as James just so eloquently stated, there's such a quiet confidence with him that he really was a great person to be at the helm of the National Hurricane Center at that time. And we do go back quite a long ways because on my honeymoon, I went to the National Hurricane Center, and Max remembers me coming through there.
Yeah, we remember that story, too. Spending the honeymoon at the Hurricane Center.
No. I didn't spend the honeymoon. We just went there.
Lame, Brian.
Yeah. But Max is a tremendous guy. I'm glad to count him among my acquaintances. And I did call him a couple months ago when I learned of his retirement and told him that there really is life after NOAA and the National Weather Service. So.
Okay. Well, he did a tremendous job, that is for sure, and we sure appreciate all the years and the hard work. Got some very nice listener email. Just wanted to say thanks to Ed Roberts with the Kansas City Weather Podcast, kcweather.org, sending us a nice holiday greeting. If you'd like to send some email to us here at WeatherBrains, our address is question@weatherbrains.com. If you'd like to leave a voicemail, our number is 206-339-5482, 206-339-5482.
Let me just say this. I got back from this National Weather Association local chapter meeting, and I have never seen J.B. Elliott work that buffet line.
Oh, my goodness.
The guy must have gone through that line at least a dozen times, and I got some photographs.
Are these going to be on the blog?
On the blog. It's alabamawx.com, so look for those this week. The man is an eating machine.
Oh, J.B.
Oh, boy.
Technology.
And now you wonder why I didn't go.
That's right. There was no food left after JB worked that buffet line. So.
All right. We'll look for the evidence on the blog, James. Anyway.
Yep, it'll be there.
A reminder that the opinions expressed here on Weather Brains are not necessarily those of ABC 3340. For James Spann and Brian Peters and Bill Murray, who's on the road too, I'm David Black. We thank you for listening and hope you can join us again for the next edition of Weather Brains. Weather Brains is copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Adios and happy holidays. Guys, thanks. Enjoyed it.
Great show, man. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
All right.
That was good.
Cheers.
See you now.